This is Jim from the Nordeast Podcast. We're going to be getting into a sports cast here in a minute, but I want to talk about our good friends, American Mortgage Brokers. These guys are a local company. They can help you with a refi. If you're looking to buy, they can let you know what you can buy. And one really cool thing they can do is do a mortgage review for you. So you call them up and you say, hey, you know, can I save money? And, you know, they're a small business. They're not going to pressure you into anything. They'll just see, hey, you know, this actually can make sense for you. You can save money. So check them out. Give Chelsea a call. Her number is 612-271-6574. American Mortgage Brokers is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 285381. Let's go.
That's going to be where Keenum's going to try to work the ball in the boundary. Steps into it. Pass is caught. Davis,
and there it is. Maybe the greatest moment in Minnesota sports history. How's it going, Jim?
I just get amped every time I see it, hear it, think about it. I'm still living the high, man.
I definitely am living the high. It's made everything in my life better. Even though I've been sick and injured and all kinds of things since, I have just chalked that all up to paying the universe back for a little Minneapolis miracle.
We got one.
We never get one.
I know.
And we got one, so.
Yeah, I mean, really one of the greatest moments in any sport, really, ever. But for sure, you know, the NFL, just wild.
I mean, I know it's the flavor of the month, but honestly, the coverage of it is as if it is one of the greatest moments in NFL postseason history.
Yeah, and it's all people want to talk about. And not just in Minnesota. Obviously, we want to live it as much as we can. Every time I turn the TV on to national media coverage, it's just popping up again, and I don't mind.
I would guess, and if I wasn't exaggerating, I would guess that I've now watched that play 750 times.
Okay, I'm gonna tone that down a tiny bit, but I have seen like a GIF that I did let loop like maybe seven times.
Well, I watched SportsCenter one morning on Monday, and I think I saw it 100 times in about 15 minutes on SportsCenter.
Right, because they want to talk about it, and then they just play it over, and then all the different views. You got to watch the different views. The best view you just showed me before is that sideline cam one, where you can hear how crazy loud you were, specifically you.
Yeah, definitely.
I could hear you.
It's funny, though. I don't think I was loud. I don't think I said anything. I think I put my hands up in the air.
And just, you're Everson Griffin, almost? I was too shocked to even comprehend what just happened.
I don't think I made a noise, but I don't know. I guess I'll never remember. I have no recollection of that moment, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was shocking, wasn't it?
So we'll definitely talk more Minneapolis miracle. I think I would have dubbed it the miracle in Minneapolis, but
it's too late now.
Too late. But before we do that, we have a pretty tasty beer in front of us. What are we drinking?
Yeah. So we're going to our friends at Fulton. You know, they do these kind of really cool one-off, you know, aged, barrel-aged, you know, sours and stuff. And they put them in these big, you know, 750 milliliter wine bottles. This is one of them. So this is one of their culture products. So, you know, if you've drank sours recently, it's probably been a kettle sour where they make a perfectly good beer, and into the big drum, they add in lactobacillus. It sours the beer. It adds a sour flavor, and they bottle it. It takes, you know, an extra few days or less. To get a fermented in oak barrel, it takes a while. You know, this is an aged beer, so it gives it way more funky flavor. And this one happens to be their Tanager. So it's an IPA, and then they do it in oak with Brettanomyces, which is, you know, a bacteria. So it makes it funky. And what do you think of it?
I really like it. It's not nearly as sour as I was expecting, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. It's just kind of a different take, and I like the barrel aged.
Yeah. I get the oak.
I definitely get the oak. Yeah. It is a funky tasting beer.
It's got more of the funk than the sour, for sure.
Absolutely.
Which I like. I like them both.
Yeah, I do too. So
this is a tasty beer to sip on, man.
It is. It's fun. And I think sometimes just because something's in a bottle, like a 750, people don't want to go buy it, but I don't know. Sometimes the most fun beers are in those, and it forces you to drink the whole thing in one night.
So. Right, which is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do
that.
Because we popped it.
We're going to have to step up to the plate. Now you guys are going to have to step up to the plate, and that means giving us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook if you haven't already. Also, subscribe on iTunes. We love your comments. There's some hilarious ones on there. 5 stars all around. That's just how it is.
don't even give us a review if it's like 4 stars. I don't want to see that shit.
Come on. Really? A 4-star review? What are you doing? Yeah. I mean, you were just intentionally being picky.
Yeah.
We do this for free.
What don't you like? There's nothing not to like.
Yeah, guys, we cut the 2018 cost down to free for you. Yeah. It is free every episode, twice a week, sometimes more, all year.
That's pretty good.
We're hard hat guys.
Yeah. We bring the lunch pail. We're like the Vikings.
There's
no stars here, man.
No, there aren't. And one guy who's not a hard hat guy is Barter, who's not here.
You may not have heard his voice yet complaining about something. Yeah. And that's because he is sick as hell, apparently.
Yeah, we postponed on Monday. When you guys saw us on Monday, we did just a Facebook Live.
Thinking that we'd totally be back full strength, triple threat today.
Yeah.
No.
No, that didn't happen. So
we had to learn how to record our audio. So when it sounds like shit and there's no music, that's Eric's fault.
That's why we played that great video.
Yeah.
But yeah, also when it doesn't get recorded and this only lives on Facebook, you'll know why as well.
Yeah, exactly. So enjoy it on there.
All right. So time to dive headfirst into some sports talk. And I know it's probably been beaten into the ground by now, but we need to talk more about that fantastic play, the Minneapolis Miracle. One of the most exciting plays in Minnesota history. And I have to say, it has just been absolutely everywhere. Everyone is talking about Minnesota, and it feels wonderful. It's just never that way. It just seems kind of like, and I don't want to jinx anything, but it just seems like we're on this like path of destiny at this point where you get just a win you didn't deserve.
Yeah.
You know, you pull out of nowhere.
We really didn't, and we can talk about that too.
Yeah, and we you know, battled back and forth with another really good team in the Saints, and it kind of feels like if we can win that game, we can win any game. So hopefully we keep that moving this week as we head to the one seed Philadelphia, where we are currently 3.5-point favorites.
Which feels good.
That means they believe the Vikings are 6.5 points better than the Eagles.
Because they're compensating for the home field advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the play was absolutely wonderful, and yes, we did score more points than them. We win the game, but we kind of blew it in a lot of ways, too. I mean, you got to remember, we were up 17-0. So we had our failings, and I hope we learned something from it. I hope we come back like, dude, you know, I get that you can blame the defense, right? But they also were given shitty field position twice, one by a block punt, one from a Keenum interception. So there wasn't that much they could do, and we know Breeze is just incredible, and he puts the ball where only his receivers can get it. I don't know how much you can do about that, and I don't feel like our defense is, you know, needs a wake-up call or anything.
My biggest worry is just that if we do make it to the Super Bowl and the Patriots make it, that the Saints just gave the Patriots the blueprint on how to attack this defense, and that was, hey, if they're going to play man defense on us, then we are going to spread them out, and we're going to move our playmaking running back out wide with someone like Eric Kendricks in man, and we're just going to let our Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, pick these guys apart in man because their pass rush isn't getting here right now.
Right, and you say that because you can compare Breeze and Brady, whereas the Eagles, like, look at that and like, well, we'll have to find a different way because they have Nick Foles, who can't put a pass where it needs to be like that.
I think the Eagles are going to try to, we'll get into that a little later.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll save that. But a couple things about it. I went from being so proud and so excited about the moment and so thankful to the sports gods who have just so routinely like spit.
The Norse gods, the sports gods, whichever you want to call it. Somebody's been blasting us. For
yeah.
Sure.
And so, you know, just all too often, you know, they have been just giving it to us in the worst way. And so I went from like watching the play and just thinking of the moment and how excited I was and how excited Minnesota was and how beautiful of a moment it was for our great state to just enjoying the videos of Saints fans suffering.
You went that quick.
Yeah, yeah. Now, at this point, like,
I've seen some great ones too.
Oh, I constantly am like skeptical that they were recorded well after the fact.
Well, the ones in like the bars and stuff.
That's
those
my
are
favorite.
Great. Those are my favorite, right? Because those are for sure real. And it actually makes more sense that there'd be more Saints videos because they were expecting to be recording their winning moment.
Yes.
Whereas like the ones for Vikings fans, I don't think there'd be a lot of them unless there was a total asshole there that's like, look at this depressed guy. Ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, and some of those are probably real. I think a lot of those are more fake, right?
Yeah.
You rewind the DVR, you hit it again, you have your big viral moment.
You're like, hey, teenage son, like,
yeah,
you know,
go, you know, flip out and, you know, whatever.
Jump into the frozen pool.
Yeah. Like, we get it. The Saints ones, man, they were filming, they were trying to film their winning moment. And that shit went south real quick.
Yeah, and honestly, it just was great to get revenge on the Saints.
So, did you see the thing I posted on Facebook? It's sort of been making its rounds. So, Sean Payton, already your least favorite coach, you've gotten me to just bite on like just the hatred that I feel for him now.
He's such a douche.
He's such a giant douchebag. At one point, right before, when they thought they had it in the bag, everybody thought they had it in the bag, he turns towards the Vikings crowd and does a like a fake skull chant.
Yeah.
Just to like, just be a huge douche. An instant karma, Keenum to Diggs. How nice is that?
It's the very best.
It's the cherry.
It was,
or is it the sprinkles? I don't know which one.
I think it was both, because honestly, you have a guy who was suspended for a year for his behavior in a game against our team.
Should have been banned from the fucking league. You can't do that.
His defensive coordinator
was fired.
Was fired and banned for a while. His team lost a first round draft pick. They had to pay a fine, and the rules of the NFL were changed after what he did against us in 2009. Same guy, same egomaniac is there now, and it looks like we kind of gave it right back to him. He complained that their replay equipment wasn't working. I hope that's because Ziggy and Mark Wilf said, fuck Sean Payton and unplug his shit. And I hope we did that. I hope I find out.
And you're like, you know what? Fuck him.
Yeah, you know what? I expect the same treatment now when we go there. And it's kind of becoming this non-division but just big game rivalry between the two teams.
I love it. I hope we have the upper hand for years to come.
I have to say, I think if the Vikings can win the Super Bowl, they usually like to go a rematch of the conference finals of that year, but I have this feeling, since Carson Wentz's health will be an issue still at that point, that week one would be the Saints returning to US Bank Stadium.
I thought they had the schedule, but not the order, because we know what teams we're going to play.
Yeah.
And I think we're playing the Saints, right?
We are.
So you think it's going to be week one?
Yeah.
They're going to start another year out with the Saints.
I sure hope so. Wouldn't that be fun?
Or maybe we'd go there this time. Huh?
Sure. Either way, let's bring it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be a blast. So I love it. I love the rivalry. It's fun to hate a team. I don't know why anyone would like the Saints at this point in time. And yeah,
I like the city.
I have to say, I'm reveling in the misery of their fans because I've been there, and I usually feel bad for people, but for some reason, the Saints fans are not getting my sympathy.
Nah.
So my question to you is,
the only guy I like is their punter.
Yeah, he was
cool.
He's
a class act, man.
Yeah, it's cool that we've, as Minnesotans, have now raised almost $100,000 for his charity. And he said if we raise $100,000, he will fly to Minneapolis and deliver a check to the Minneapolis Children's Hospital.
Really?
Yeah, which is really cool.
Holy shit, I didn't know all that.
So,
those details.
So he broke his ribs in the first punt of the game, tackling
Sherrills
on what could have been.
He really prevent. I mean, I don't think anybody would have got caught him if he hadn't made that.
Yeah, big play. He gets run over, breaks his ribs, finish the game. And Minnesota fans, for some reason, because all these teams now are doing this, they're donating to charities of opposing players, which is a cool trend.
I like it.
Yeah, for all the negative things that happen in sports, it's beautiful that we are, as fans, doing things the right way and putting our money where our mouths are and trying to do good things for people. So, yeah, that's wonderful. So Minnesota fans started donating to his charity, and he said, hey, if you guys raise money, I'll give it to the Minneapolis Children's Hospital. I'll even fly out there and present them with a giant check. So,
and Sean Payton has officially cut him.
Yeah, Sean Payton was like, we hate humanity.
And we hate kids.
He said, the only way we're doing this is if I get to hand the check over.
Yeah, right. I get exclusive rights, all the pub, and I get a book deal.
Yes, exactly.
God,
so,
he's the worst.
He's the worst, but there are good things that come out of it. So it's exciting stuff. But my question for you is where does this rank in all-time Minnesota sports moments?
It's hard not to say one right now, right?
I think because it's the flavor of the month, it's number one.
And for me, I haven't witnessed a championship in a long time, right? So, you know, you can go back and be like, well, I was alive in 1991. You know, Twins won the World Series in exciting fashion. I get that. But for me, I was five and I wasn't paying any goddamn attention. So, yeah. God, I want to say one. I'm sure you have a whole stockpile of others that you can think of.
No, I really can't.
Okay.
I would say it's probably number two.
Okay.
And
for you, or just like,
I think in Minnesota history, it's got to be number two. And I'm sure that there'll be someone who will bring up something that happened in the 60s or something. Mm-hmm. Nah, we're not going there.
We don't
care. Sports are bigger, more popular, and better than ever. I would say that just how the Twins won the World Series in 91 has to be number one. Mm-hmm. They were down in game six. They hit a walk-off home run. They have the great "we'll see you tomorrow night" call off a Kirby Puckett home run.
Yeah.
And then they come back the next night. Their pitcher throws a shutout.
Right.
And they
win. Was that Blackjack Morris or whatever? Okay.
And they...
newly Hall of Fame minted. Yep.
And they won in the 10th inning on a walk-off hit. So, I mean, if you really think about it, there's probably not any other World Series that has ended with back-to-back drama games like that. And again, I'm sure some baseball nerd will tune in and be like, oh, the 59 World Series. Let me tell you.
We welcome that. We welcome
that. Yeah, bring that on. Bring it on. Yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, you think about it. It can't be a Wolves one. You just have to rule that out. They just haven't won any, like, big dramatic games. I mean, I get that we went to the Western Conference Finals one time.
Yeah, we beat
and we got killed, right?
We beat the Kings in the playoffs that year in game seven in a really good game. And Garnett had just
a monster
an
game.
Incredible game. And then he did the standing on the table thing.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, just surpassed by Diggs standing on the on the stands and throwing his helmet and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's nothing from the Wolves. There's nothing from the Wild.
For
I know
sure not.
There's some there. You know, we live in the state of hockey, so someone's going to compare it to like a first round playoff series, you know, game seven overtime goal, which happened a couple times. But I just don't think it's on the same page.
It doesn't have the
impact. Look
at the national press this is getting.
Exactly.
I mean, at this point, there's four teams left. You know, I mean, it was a huge deal. And that thing had, I think, like 47 million people watching it when that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a huge deal.
And
it's
that was after
about.
Was after like half of Minnesota shut it off because they were so upset.
Yeah, exactly. Huge mistake.
A crazy moment. I personally am going to say, in my humble opinion, it is the second greatest Minnesota sports moment.
Until we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's all
we can do. So if we win the Super Bowl and it's like we're playing the Patriots or maybe we're playing the Jaguars. Let's say for this stupid hypothetical, we're playing the Jags, okay? And we're up by like 15. It never gets too close. We win it. Is that now the greatest, or is this still just like such a special play that it's still greater than that, right?
Yeah, I think that people would be the happiest that we actually won and got a Super Bowl.
Right, but you would still, when like in 10 years when you look back,
but that moment,
we would still be like, yeah, that was the year the Diggs play, right?
Yeah.
So I still think it's probably, it would make it even better as part of a larger story.
I agree. Yeah, a Super Bowl that we almost didn't have, you know, if it wasn't for a miracle.
Right. Man, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. And honestly, I love talking to everyone in Minnesota about it. And it's just everywhere you go, it's what's on people's minds. People who are sports fans, people who never watch sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just exciting to see Minnesota in the spotlight. And I think it's just great for all the people who've lived here for so long in such a great place that has had so little success in sports.
Yeah, it's tough moving forward from that. I had like a giant dopamine dump. You know, I just felt like depressed the next day. Like, I just need another fix of something incredible. Like, that's why I just kept watching it over and over again.
Just to
chase the dragon a little bit.
I tweeted during the game, like late in the game, I said something like, this game is going to make me sick. And then I actually got sick that
Barter
night.
Barter's almost going to die. I mean, he's really sick.
Yeah, it actually
had a profound impact.
The game actually made me sick. I was very ill. I took my first sick day ever at work. So it must have been pretty bad.
That is bad.
Yeah. So there you go. Thank you, Vikings. That's what you do to us. I probably would have been fine if they would have lost. No, I would have been just
No, you
would have
taken
bad.
A week off. Just like been in a hole somewhere.
All right. So we'll head back to the Vikings and more specifically that NFC Conference Championship game against the Eagles. But first, we're going to move on to this week's main event, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had a tough loss last night to the Orlando Magic.
That was a. I think we should talk about the team as if that didn't happen, because until they play Houston tomorrow, we'll see what kind of track they're on.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about that loss. That happens to the best teams.
It does. It does happen, and it's weird in the NBA how if you're not the Warriors, that happens to you, you know, on a.
Yeah.
Decently regular basis, but it was a pretty bad team. Don't want to be losing those games. Don't want to be dropping them, especially when you're so hot. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, can the Wolves grab the Western Conference 3 seed at the end of the season?
I actually think they will.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Because we are hitting our stride. We're actually getting better. Whereas the Spurs are having nothing but trouble, injury trouble. I mean, Dude, Kawhi is out again. Like, the guy has major health issues. For as transcendent as he is on the court, he's not on the court that often. Yeah. I think they're going to struggle. I mean, I guess he could come back and be healthy all year, and they can play very consistently, which they do under Pop, right? I mean, the guy's a basketball god. But I feel like we can absolutely hold the third seed. I feel like at this point, the fourth is like... very well in hand. We're much better than the teams below us, it really feels like.
Including the Thunder?
Oh, yeah. We beat them 3 or 4. We're done playing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we handled them, and they're super inconsistent. Yes, they could get much better, but, dude, they're dropping games.
And the other team that's currently, I believe, in the top 6 is the Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans, who we just beat the other night.
We crush them
every time. I do think that they are the team that I sneaky don't want to play in the first round.
Really?
We killed
them.
I just think any team that has a top 5 player like Anthony Davis, who is just on fire, mm-hmm. Who is probably, at least for now, a better version of Towns.
Yeah, right.
And then
and
they also
Boogie
have
and
Boogie
and Drew Holiday, and
who's a big guy, obviously, who can score. He's putting up he's putting up incredible stats this year. Drew Holiday playing some of his best ball ever.
Cunningham off the bench, right? Is he still there? God, he's a journeyman, isn't
they're,
he?
They're,
Everybody's
they're,
had that guy on their team.
Their bench is just brutal. But I think that's a team I wouldn't want to see in a playoff series. I think
Who
I'd
would
rather,
you rather play? I mean, like,
I'd love to play the Blazers.
Okay. The Clippers.
I'd love to play the Clippers.
Okay.
And I'd love to play.
The
I
Thunder?
Think I'd love to play the Thunder. That's a marquee series.
I feel like I'm good with any of those teams. I mean, so we'll reference 538 again. We're over 99% chance to make the playoffs right now. I think we're going to make it, obviously. It's certainly, unless some crazy injury thing, which 538 is factoring for that too. And they're still saying we have a 99% chance to make it. So, 7% chance to win the finals.
7?
I'll take it, right?
A 7?
Yeah, 7.
That's really high.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of... I think we're the 5th most likely team to win the finals. And we're 5th in the power rankings. So maybe
I think that
related.
Everyone in the league that's not the Warriors should have like a 30% chance, and the Warriors should have like a 70% chance, because nobody is in the vicinity of that
right.
team.
And that sucks. I hate
I
that.
I think that the Warriors could lose any player on their team.
Except for Durant?
They could lose Durant and they'd still win the title. I mean, they're loaded. They're so loaded. They're so good. They have so many of the best players in
they
the league.
They cleaned up against Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland is... There's just no competition in the East, really. I get there's some good teams. There's more, you know, equality between the two conferences than there were last year. But no team is even close to the Warriors.
Yeah, and so I'm happy to hear that about the Wolves. It's not. I think just winning a playoff series would be a massive season for us.
Oh, huge! Just making the playoffs is all. That's where the expectation is. But winning a series, and you know, honestly, if we get a 3 or 4 seed, and we look down at some of these teams we'd be playing, we've beaten these teams. We've beaten everybody in the West, dude. Like our record against the West is like 17 and I don't even know, like 14-3 or something like that. Like, we've just crushed.
So how many All-Stars do you think are on the Wolves?
1.5
1.5
Depends on the night for... Well, it depends on the rest of the season, and I get that they don't have to pick it. The voting is over. When do they actually pick? It's pretty much it's decided, isn't it? Just don't know yet.
Yeah, and is it what percent of it is fan vote? Half of it?
50% fan vote, 20% player vote, 30% owner GM vote or something like that. Or insider vote, whatever they call it. I mean, Butler, hands down, for sure deserves it. And Big Cat, the last month, he's deserved it. And I think he will continue to play this way. I don't think he's going to regress. I'm psyched about his progress this year. Don't you think? He learned how to play defense.
Yeah. No, I think that there's some big strides that have been taken. I think Towns should sneak in. I think being in a market like Minneapolis hurts him and his chances, but you know, he definitely should be on the team. He's one of the best big men in the league. He's super exciting. He probably deserved to be there. You know, maybe all the years he's been in the league. I mean, he's a fantastic talent. So yeah, I would say, Butler should start for sure. Towns should be on the team. Wiggins isn't even in the conversation. Yeah. No one else is either, obviously. One thing I'm going to say that's really disappointing to me is the number of people going to the Timberwolves games.
Disappointing? They're selling out left and right, dude.
Yeah, on the season, though, their home attendance is 26th in the league. They only have, and that's based on percentage, not on number of tickets sold. So they only
percentage.
Yeah, they only average selling 86.8% of their tickets. Whereas like the Mavericks sell 103% of their tickets.
Okay, but that doesn't make sense.
It just means there's standing room only tickets that people are all buying to go.
The Mavericks?
Yeah.
See, I don't trust this shit. That's crazy. They've had like 6 or 7 straight sellouts, and that will continue as long as they play well, which I think they will. Yes, they probably didn't start out super strong. I mean, we're not a basketball city. It's becoming that, I think, as the Wolves get better. But they've been so bad for so long, dude.
Yeah.
Haven't made the playoffs in 14 seasons. Dude, nobody gives a shit about the Wolves except for me and you, thank God.
Well, the good news is,
hopefully
though,
our listeners,
people are
talking about
a little more excited to see them on the road. So they currently are 18th in the NBA in road attendance. Whereas like the top teams are pretty obvious, teams that everyone wants to see, top five. 5 is the Spurs, 4 is the Thunder, 3 is the Lakers, 2 is the Cavs, and 1 is the Warriors.
So, Celtics doesn't fall in there?
The probably Celtics 6. Are 12th.
Huh.
12th on the road. Yeah, people are bored with the Celtics.
Okay, I guess so.
So the other thing I would say is what is really helping the Timberwolves become such a featured attraction and something that people are so excited about is the fact that the NHL doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
The NHL...
Is it just a marketing thing?
Oh, I definitely think so. And the fans were pretty outraged this week when they announced who was going to be playing at the All-Star game this year. They already have a problem with having a white male audience and not trying to find diverse players, athletes, fans.
Luke Bryan?
No, Kid Rock.
No, Kid Rock?
Kid
is
Rock.
Is playing the All-Star game?
Yeah, they were like,
he's
what?
He's not even like an C-list at this point.
They were like, what could we do that would be super divisive?
Yeah.
And just would make it so.
Who's like the, out of 3 musicians that have ever visited the White House, let's pick one of those?
They were like, Ted Nugent's not available.
Yeah. We can't get the Nuge.
We have to get Kid Rock then.
Let's go down our list.
And so to me, it's like, what are you doing? Like, how out of touch are you?
Wow.
Are you just going all, are they like trying to become the new NASCAR?
No, there's already a NASCAR.
NASCAR exists. Their ratings are down. Is the NHL saying, you know what, NASCAR? We're North NASCAR.
Yeah, right.
That's what they're trying to be. I don't understand the move.
NASCAR on skates.
Yeah, I don't get it. So
that's troubling.
I think I do think that the NHL is badly losing a fight that they couldn't win with the NBA, mm-hmm. and with a sport that they couldn't beat in basketball. But they're doing it in a way that just seems like they have no clue.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like they're just taking the worst risks and they're just making the worst decisions. And everyone hates every decision they make. And I don't know. Maybe it's
I'm surprised people are even talking about their decisions. I mean, that's how irrelevant they seem.
I know. And that's coming from someone who is a passionate, wild supporter. Mm-hmm. I go to the playoffs whenever they go. I watch a bunch of their games. And for some reason, this season just feels a little bit different. And it's not that they're a bad team or they're not competitive. I don't know. I just am kind of bored with the product. And so I'm interested. I'm sure there are plenty of people here who, you know, listen to us who would never miss a Wild game. Mm-hmm. And they live and die by the Wild. And I have to tell you guys, I haven't taken my Wild jerseys out of my closet yet this season. And that's kind of scary to me. And it should be scary to them. 'Cause
you usually work them in.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I usually watch a bunch of the games. I got a Granlund. I have a Koivu. I have a Parisi. I love the Wild.
Yeah.
But it's just not happening for me this year. And I just want to know, you know, is anyone else on the same page? Or is it something that I am just going through alone?
I mean, for me, I watch every Timberwolves game. So if they're playing at the same time, I don't even try like the flip between. I'll use like the sports app on Comcast to check the Wild score while I watch every minute of the Timberwolves game. And if the Wolves aren't playing, then I'm like, ooh, a break from TV? This is good. And I just don't really watch much Wild. I did go to the game this last Saturday, had some good seats. It was an absolute blast. The place in there is still sold out. It's still electric. We've actually had a sort of nice streak. We beat Winnipeg by like 4-1. So it was a good time. I mean, it was great. It's just sort of outside of, you know, that XL Arena, the hype isn't there.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that the NBA is perfect, and or even the Timberwolves are perfect, even though I'm feeling more excited about the Wolves than ever. But there's something that the Timberwolves are desperately missing as well, and that is a rival.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's really interesting.
It's because we've been so irrelevant for so long that everybody just loves to play us. You know, traditionally have loved to play us. You know, you look back and when you go through the different teams and our records against them, we have a losing record against almost every team. So who could be a rival with?
Well,
we need that.
I think the biggest issue is just the terrible geography that they're using in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So currently the Minnesota Timberwolves are part of the Northwest Conference,
which
isn't really
nothing.
And it's not really Northwest because it is currently the Minnesota Timberwolves, not part of the Northwest.
Portland, I think,
the
is in there.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
Oklahoma. It's just north of Texas.
Yeah.
And it's northeast of Texas.
Right.
It's nowhere near the Northwest. The Portland Trail Blazers do fit there. The Denver Nuggets, kind of.
Okay.
And the Utah Jazz, kind of. And that's it. And I just think that is silly and negligent.
But that doesn't mean anything either, though. That's the thing.
Nothing.
They need to eliminate divisions because there's no point. It's not like they're never going to get a rivalry with those teams.
No, but
which
I
like that. I like their you know, straight up, you know, hey, we're doing seeding by conference, half and half. That's the most fair way. I like that. But you're not really going to develop rivalries that way.
No, but I want a conference reset.
Yeah.
I want them to reevaluate who should be in the East and West or the North and the South or whatever they want to divide it by. And I'm telling you, there's a division we fit in real well, and it would help our ticket sales. It would help everything with the Wolves and the passion of the fans. There's currently a division that has the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're probably the most outsider team in that. Mm-hmm. The Indiana Pacers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Detroit Pistons, and the Chicago Bulls. That should be our wheelhouse of rivals.
Yeah.
We should be battling Milwaukee, Detroit, and Chicago for everything. They should be our biggest rivals. And we play them.
Mirror the NFL.
We play them once a year at home.
Yep.
Every year.
And I shouldn't be able to root for the Greek Freak.
No.
For Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No.
And I am, which I guess is okay. But
we should play him so many times that we hate him, and their matchup between Greek Freak and
gets chippier
Cat
and chippier every
is
time.
The chippiest best matchup of the year.
In general, the NBA has a rivalry problem, and rivalries are so good for sports. Absolutely. They make a boring game between two teams that might be out of contention into something worth watching, right?
Absolutely.
And the only ones we have are at the very top, cream of the so you can really only develop a rivalry if you face off with the same team in the playoffs multiple years really only at the conference finals level, or, and in between conferences, you have to, it's really only the Warriors and the Cavs. That's it.
Yeah. Or just like ancient ones that don't exist anymore, like the Lakers and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Like it's not the 80s anymore, guys.
Yeah. Nobody cares about that.
But yeah.
The Lakers are horrible. Celtics are great.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
But I think that the other thing too is just that the NBA has made a decision, which has led to their rise, where they have promoted stars instead of teams and players over coaches and teams. And so you get these individual rivalries that are really exciting, like LeBron versus Durant, like Westbrook versus Durant, like now,
with especially with all the trades.
Yeah. And the guys switching teams. Obviously, the other night you had one where the Clippers and Chris Paul's new team, the Rockets, almost got into it. Guys were getting suspended for trying to get into the locker room to
keep
fight.
This in mind. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Union, and he led his like thugs through the back door that only he knew, because he used to play at the Staples Center, into the opponent locker room. Or no, into the home locker room, right?
To like attempt to fight.
To like fight, and then nothing happened. But yeah, I mean, led by the Players Union president. How great.
Yeah, and so it's just like you get those kind of things happening, and people are excited about those. And it shouldn't always have to be violence that turns into rivalries.
No, it's not.
But my thing is like the Wolves currently are in a place that is not, there's no rivalries able to even grow. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't care how many times we play the Blazers. It's just not going to be a rivalry because it is so difficult for us to travel for a Tuesday night game in Portland.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's part of it, right? We're never going to go, you know, you're never going to have a ton of opposing fans there unless you are one of the huge teams that is a bandwagon team.
It's like most of them make great sense. I mean, Dallas, Memphis, New Orleans, San Antonio, Houston, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Golden State, that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Atlanta, Orlando, Charlotte, Washington, and Miami for the most part.
Once again, it's not like if you finish first in that, you get any kind of rewards whatsoever in the playoffs.
No, but you play those teams more often. And that's the reason that I just think
more
it's
often
important.
Than other Western Conference teams?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just have extra games against them. And
all
it's right. Just,
well, that's all you get. Yeah. I guess that's fine.
And that's what I'm saying is missing. They need to hit the reset button when it comes to the conferences. I think we're an Eastern Conference team.
Dude, Commissioner David Stern is not afraid to make changes.
Adam Silver.
Thank you. Yeah, Adam Silver, not afraid to make changes. He's already mixed up the draft. He's changed up some rules. I think he's really one of the reasons that they're doing so well. I like the guy. I think he makes great decisions. He avoided all this controversy somehow in the entire league. I think now's the time. Could really leave his mark on this league.
All right, guys. The last thing we have to talk about here is a quick little dive into at the buzzer. The matchup this weekend between the Vikings and the Eagles.
I'm just going to have questions for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, the Vikings.
The hell are we going
to
do?
Heading to Philadelphia.
Are we going
to
win?
Sunday night. And the Vikings currently are 3.5-point favorites on the road. If you don't know how that works, Vegas usually allots 3 points to the home team for a home field advantage. So that means they are pretty much asking you, are the Vikings a touchdown better than the Eagles or not?
Right. I say, of course they are, but I'm a homer, man.
I think it's going to be a grind it out type of game between two really good defenses.
So if you had defenses. Money down,
if I had money down, I would say the same thing as last week. And I would say the Vikings. No, I'm just going to pick the Vikings outright, to be honest with you. I think the Vikings are better. I think the Eagles have a better roster. I think the Eagles are a better team. I think their home field advantage is real. And I think, after saying all that, that the Vikings are going to get the best of Nick Foles. I think Mike Zimmer is a much more experienced coach than Doug Peterson, who in his own is a fantastic young coach. And I just kind of think that the defense is going to make enough plays. The offense will convert on some short fields, and the Vikings will win 20 to 13.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah, 20 to 13.
I was going to say 17 to 10.
Yeah, it will be low scoring.
I think we can hold them to 10. I mean, they could just really struggle. I could picture them just like can't do shit.
I think we should have a pretty good idea pretty early in the game at what this game is going to look like. They got the ball last week to their running backs in either running the ball or in the passing game 35 times. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to pound the ball with Jay Ajayi, with LeGarrette Blount, with Corey Clement. They're going to try to throw the ball to their running backs. They're going to try to use a screen game, which the Vikings have been very good against all year. And they're going to try to take the game out of Nick Foles' hands as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can really hurt us is going to be with the interior of their defensive line.
Yeah.
Should really dominate the game for them. They should make life on Case Keenum difficult. And I think if he can avoid some of those nasty passes and, you know, some of those terrible interceptions he's been prone to throwing, and like the one he did last week, that we should have enough offense to escape and make our way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. I can't believe that's a real sentence. You know, we've been doing this podcast the entire journey. Man, it's crazy that we're here, isn't it?
It's really crazy considering that after week four and the Dalvin Cook injury, mm-hmm. that I proclaimed on this podcast that the season was over.
Yeah.
I said that, and I will...
And I probably agreed with you.
Yeah.
Because it seemed so grim.
I was like, the quarterback's out. The running
Nobody
back's
loses
out.
Their you know, their quarterback and their star running back.
I was like, what are we going to do? And it's just like, we had all the answers, because in Mike Zimmer, we should all trust, because yeah. he's been just incredible. A couple matchups on the day. Like I said, their interior line on defense should be giving our guys, like Mike Remmers and Pat Elflein and Joe Berger, a really difficult time. A great matchup between Everson Griffin and their backup left tackle. I don't even know the dude's name. He's a total sieve. He should be toast. I mean, we should really be able to abuse them there. A huge advantage for us should be our receivers against their cornerbacks, who are probably the weak part of their defense.
17th or something, I heard on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, that part of their defense is, we're pretty close otherwise, but ours is like second or something.
Yeah.
And theirs was 17th, so there's a big gap there.
Yeah, and my only worry is that Thielen sat out practice today with a back injury.
Really?
Hopefully it's precautionary. Lower back injury, didn't practice today, was there on the sidelines. Hopefully they're just trying to give him some extra rest, but if he's even close to 100%, I think he should be able to really, really, really hurt that Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, the way he goes up for the 50-50 balls is really, really important.
It's really important, especially when you have a guy like Keenum who
puts it in the vicinity.
Yeah, he gives him a chance. And yeah. I mean, that's been kind of the thing they've talked about all week. And it's the truth. I mean, watching him, he's a tiny bit of a gunslinger out there. And he puts them up for grabs. And we just happen to have two of the best guys in the entire NFL at going up and getting them.
So let's talk about Diggs for a second. Obviously, the dude had the play of his career already.
Yes.
Okay, so he's peaked. Do you think that this is going to mess with him psychologically, or do you think it's going to get, you know, instill a ton of confidence? What kind of game do you think he's going to have coming off the biggest play anybody's ever made?
I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't worried about that. Okay. I think that, like, Mike Zimmer is just such a, you know, no-nonsense guy.
He's like, dude, Philly.
Yeah, he laughed about it that day, and he made some jokes that day, and today when they asked him questions, he just had no patience for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Keenum didn't really either, and all the guys were kind of saying the same thing, like, yep, you know, it's in the past, we got to move on now. Mm-hmm. And Diggs was kind of the guy who was still like, wasn't that great? And so I just think that's probably, at this point, my biggest concern is just, hey, can we move on past that big play? Can we use that to catapult us to mm-hmm. greater successes? Or is that going to be our peak?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
That is the question.
And if it is our peak, how would you feel about it? How would you feel if we lose this game against Philly?
Proud. Proud of a great team and a great coach and an awesome season and amazing memories. Mm-hmm. And a team that none of us, and that goes for national experts, that goes for local experts, that goes for the best podcast in Minnesota, the Northeast podcast, you know, nobody predicted that the Vikings were going to be this good. No one would have.
It was like, do we sneak into the playoffs or not?
Yeah, it was
that
like
was what it always was.
Everyone was like, 9-7 through 7-9 were kind of the predictions.
Somebody guessed 11 wins at work, and we laughed at them. I mean, that's how bad it was for a while.
I know, and so I think no matter what happens from here on out, I'm not saying that I won't be heartbroken or, you know, as Minnesotans, we shouldn't be sad about it. But I think this is the kind of team that deserves a standing ovation no matter what they do the rest of the way, because what a fun year. And it's just like when you have an unexpected season with guys like Case Keenum and Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon stepping up out of nowhere, with guys, you know, our coordinators who were like coaches who didn't make it as head coaches, getting new head coaching jobs like Pat Shurmur is going to have with the New York Giants, you know, with the injuries to Dalvin Cook. We didn't have a first round pick. Our second round pick, Dalvin Cook, who looked incredible, was leading the league in rushing, tears up his knee. I mean, all these things happen, and we still are in the NFC Championship as a 3.5-point favorite. That's on why the road.
We win the Super Bowl. It will be one of the greatest sports stories of all time.
Yeah.
It might be one where they, like, make a movie starring,
please,
like,
yeah, 30 for 30.
Jaden Smith as Diggs.
Ooh.
In 10 years.
Yeah, I like that. As long as it's not, who's that guy I hate? He was in Radio.
The Ball Family, as you detailed before our podcast.
Yeah, the Ball Family. I hate the Ball Family. but no, who's the guy in Radio?
In Radio? The show? Oh, you're worried he's going to play it. Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Cuba Gooding.
He's going to be so old by then? Are you kidding? Yeah. He's playing OJ at this point.
As long as he's not
Stephon Diggs.
He might be like, I don't know, a D lineman or something. Yeah. Man.
They might work him in.
I don't want him. I don't want him around my life.
I don't want him part of my story.
Yeah, but, you know, it's super exciting. It's so fun. It's just great. I mean, I'm sure just listening to us every week, you can tell how excited we are. I know you guys are feeling the same way. So, yeah, I mean, this is it. It's a huge weekend. Hopefully we get another victory. We have 2 weeks to stress out over the Patriots and be the first team ever to play a home Super Bowl.
If we win on Sunday, I'm not going to get anything done for 2 weeks. Like, I might not change my clothes. I might just sit there, like, rocking back and forth.
I'm really like considering, like, I'm really considering like putting in for a day off for the day after the Super Bowl at work this week.
Yeah.
So that I'm like not doing it at the last second. And because I really, really, really want to go to the parade.
And the parade's on Monday?
I don't know.
We never had one.
We've never had one. I don't know. But I mean, it's not like we have to fly home.
No.
We drive to our houses.
God damn it. It's
so, happen. I mean, I just want that to happen. I want to be at that. I'm just soaking it up and, you know, win or lose, it's going to be a blast, and it's something special. And you know what, Minnesota, we deserve it.
Yeah, we do. In fact, I will just say this. Dude, it should be a national holiday the day after the Super Bowl. I feel like that every Super Bowl. We should just all have Monday off. It's always shitty going into work on Monday.
Yeah, why don't
even
we
after yet? An average Super Bowl? And if we're in it, I'm for sure not going to work.
It's
going
to be so painful to watch because I have to watch the Super Bowl, whether it's the Eagles and the Patriots or the Vikings and the Patriots, because it's in our stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's no way.
Because I would tune out if I could, if I didn't make it.
If the Vikings lost, I'd say, you know what? I don't need to watch the Super Bowl. Screw this.
Season's over.
Sucks.
Whatever. Yep.
But it's in our stadium. I need to watch it.
Yeah.
It's going to be
all
about Minneapolis.
They say, and they do, like, the shots of the city. I love all that stuff. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that, too.
So. You're right. Oh, my God.
We're
trapped. The stakes are even higher, dude.
The stakes are high. We're trapped. We got to get there at this point. So, hey, if you can, if you're a Vikings fan in the Philadelphia area, if you can fly your way to Philadelphia, whatever you can do. If you can, you know, my suggestion was to pull the fire alarm in the Saints hotel last weekend. If you can do something to help the team, help them get there. Skull Vikings, pretty important
send them
week
like,
for us.
You know, food poison cookies or something.
Ooh, I love
them.
That
just
idea.
Really fuck them up.
I know. At this point, I'm like cheering for Gronk to get injured, and that's a sick
that's
way to
messed
be.
Messed up.
That's pretty bad. That's where I'm at though.
Tom Brady's got a hand injury.
I'm like, I saw you had a hand injury. I said, I hope it's broken.
Dude, you're horrible. Come on, we're supposed to be Minnesota. We win the nice way, okay? No cheating.
No, because I know
pure
what
power of
what
will
getting nice has gotten us so far. So all right. No more Mr. Nice Guy. But yeah, that's all the time we really have this week on the Nordies podcast. Thanks. Hopefully it sounds good. It's probably not as good as normal without our guy Ryan here. But we did our best for you guys. Definitely had to make sure we had an episode for you guys to listen to. And hopefully you guys are as excited about Minnesota sports as we are, because it's a great time to be alive and be a Minnesota sports fan.
It is, man.
So enjoy the game this week, and you know, Skol Vikings.